Welcome back to Elevate Branson's podcast in pursuit of community with Brian Stallings. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Elevate Branson, along with my wife, Amy. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Brian.
How are you today?
Okay.
I could say hi, Amy, since you wouldn't say it. So we also have in the studio with us today, Hannah Witcher, who is our Elevate Connections director. And today we're going to be talking about some of the barriers or roadblocks for people in poverty that need access to healthcare. So good afternoon, Hannah.
Good afternoon.
Good morning. Good afternoon. I guess it doesn't really matter. It depends on when you listen to this.
That's true.
So we'll cover them both. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Brian.
Good afternoon, Hannah.
Good afternoon.
Good evening, Hannah.
Good evening.
All right. So what are some things that you're doing to help people plow through those roadblocks or barriers to healthcare?
Yeah, so there's several roadblocks to healthcare, one being not having insurance to start off with, and a lot of our neighbors don't want to or can't afford to self-pay. So if they qualify for Medicaid or Medicare, we have people on site to help them sign up for those different resources. And so we can help them sign up for Medicare and Medicaid. We help them get IDs because you need to be able to prove who you are, and they want to see that when you go into healthcare, usually. Not having a phone to be able to call and make appointments, not having transportation to be able to go to those appointments. So we help with all of that as well by providing transportation 2 days a week and letting them borrow our phone. And also just navigating the healthcare system can be a lot. And I wish we could do more. We're not, you know, walking by them each step once they go to the hospital, but prior to that, figuring out who they want as a primary care physician, making an appointment. Some people now I'm noticing are only doing it online. So if you don't have internet or you don't have a phone or a computer, then there's no way to even make an appointment. So there's just a lot of different barriers that we help navigate when they come in to getting them set up with Medicaid, getting them an ID, helping them with transportation, and then, of course, picking out who they want to go to. And if they don't qualify for Medicaid or Medicare, we partner with different places in the area so we can get them to places that they need to go.
How about Medicaid expansion? Has that helped access at all for any of our neighbors?
Maybe a few. A lot of our neighbors just naturally qualify for Medicaid, so that wasn't really an issue. It's just getting them on Medicaid in the first place. A couple people that fell through the cracks qualify more, and then there's still some people who are struggling to make a living that don't qualify for Medicaid but don't really have the money to pay for traditional health insurance, especially when it comes to mental health services. You really do need you need health insurance to be able to access any sort of counseling, psychiatry, and so that's a huge barrier for a couple people in particular, but the majority do already qualify for Medicaid.
Yeah, so poverty, often when we hear that word, we think of, you know, a lack of financial resources, but really it's a wide variety of resources that people are lacking, like access to life necessities like food and clean water and shelter and clothing. And it also includes health care, education, and transportation, the things that you mentioned. And that can really slow somebody's access down to not only reactive health care, but preventative health care.
Yeah.
If it's a struggle to get a ride to the doctor, you're probably not going to do a lot of that until you have a pain point.
Correct.
Or you're sick.
Yeah.
When we think about poverty, it's also really about low income individuals. And that category for low income is usually where their annual income is less than 150% of the federal poverty income level. And that means that they can qualify for SNAP, which helps them with some food, but you still have to have access to get to it.
Right.
Do you know if Walgreens takes SNAP?
I don't know. I think they do, but I don't know for sure.
Because that would really be about the only grocery type place on the west end of the strip.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you, they're not going to have a great selection of probably stuff because it's really just a small drugstore. But that's kind of a food desert for a lot of people. And if they can't get access to good, nutritious food, that's going to increase their healthcare issues and problems. And that just leads to so many other things. You end up eating a lot of sugar-based food, which drives your diabetes, and then you don't really take care of your diabetes because you don't have access to good food. I mean, it's just a cycle of stuff.
And the way to cook it, too.
And that term's kind of a relatively new term when we hear food desert, but that means within a certain radius, there's just not access to good, healthy, nutritious food. They've actually done a study that's shown that poverty and low income status are associated with a variety of adverse health conditions, including a shorter life expectancy and higher infant mortality rates and higher death rates for the 14 leading causes of death. I don't know what all 14 are, but there's several, apparently. Poverty also restricts the resources used to avoid risks and adopt healthy behaviors, kind of like what we talked about. One of the healthy behaviors would be preventative. Mm-hmm. Poverty also affects what they call the built environment, which is the human-made physical parts of the places where people live, work, and play, including buildings, open spaces, and infrastructure. Services, culture, and community's reputation, of all of which have independent effects on health outcomes.
The community's reputation?
Well, you think about, if you're living in a weekly or extended stay motel, that may not be a healthy environment from a variety of things, right? You don't have cooking facilities, you don't have refrigeration facilities, also has a reputation of maybe not being the best environment. And so there's a community reputation in that. Amy, you have any thoughts on any of this healthcare?
I know, I just find it so fascinating, and I do think those in poverty that we come across, they have a lot more obstacles than those of us in middle class. If I'm not feeling well, I can just call my doctor and hopefully get worked in sometime that day and drive over there and get seen. But if I didn't have a phone and I didn't have transportation and I didn't have insurance, then those are all roadblocks. And so I think there's just a lot to learn about this and a lot of ways to try to help the folks that we're working with on a daily basis.
Yeah, and location matters. The Robert Wood Johnson Foundation did a study, and they found that there's actually dramatic differences in healthcare and health outcomes between communities or places where people live only a few miles apart. So they found a 25-year difference in average life expectancy in New Orleans, Louisiana, between inner city and suburban neighborhoods. So if you lived in the suburbs, you would live 25 years longer than if you lived in the inner city. And in Kansas City, they did another study, and they found a 14-year difference between two Kansas City neighborhoods that were only 3 miles apart.
And why is that?
Just access to healthcare.
Wow.
And your surroundings and your environment and everything else. I would be fascinated to know what the life expectancy would be from individuals that live at a weekly motel versus individuals that live somewhere else in town. Mm-hmm. I mean, I bet there's a dramatic life expectancy. I mean, 14-year difference in only living 3 miles apart.
Mm-hmm. And then some of these motels, they're so old and they're so run down and they're so dark inside.
Yeah.
It's so depressing, and many of them. And that has to have a big effect as well.
There's secondhand smoke
that
a lot of people are getting, or other things. And
or other types of smoke.
Other types of smoke, yes. Right. And so there's just a lot. And the idea of people having proactive health care, I think, is more of a middle class mindset. Mm-hmm. And the reactive health care is not so much. And so
because middle class plan.
Correct.
Right. So you plan preventative health care, plan to have reactive. Poverty also affects our health by limiting access to shelter, safe neighborhoods to learn you know, where's your location to a library? Where's your location to some of the community resources that are available? Clean air and water, utilities. I mean, these are all things that have an impact on an individual's standard of living.
And like you said in the beginning, with your groceries as well, if you just have a corner store where you just get prepackaged food all the time because that's what's in your neighborhood and you can't get access to healthy fruits and vegetables and, you know, healthy poultry, different things like that, it's going to have an effect on you.
I heard from one physician that the number one health issue among people in poverty is diabetes.
I believe it.
Because they eat bad. Right? The packaged food that they have access to, which is high in sugar, and then not being able to maintain their diabetes because of lack of transportation, lack of access to insulin, different things like that. Violence, though, is also more prevalent in areas with greater poverty. Individuals in households at or below the poverty level experience more than double the rate of violent victimization than individuals in high-income households. Hannah, you're working on a plan with our neighbors to help them take forward steps or proactive steps towards their health care. So walk us through a little bit of that.
Yeah, so my goal for this year was for 50 of our neighbors to take proactive health care steps. And that looks like planning ahead. And so, like I mentioned, we see a lot of reactive health care. They want to go to the ER right away for something that's happening, but they've had that pain for months and months, different things like that. So I don't want to set goals that are unattainable for myself or for our neighbors. And so I kept it pretty simple of proactive health care steps look like signing up for health insurance, getting a primary care physician, creating an appointment, going to the doctor anytime that we took someone to the doctor. And right now we've had about 77 people sign up for Medicaid or food stamps. And I did the numbers yesterday, I think it's close to 25 to 27 people that have taken those other steps of getting to a doctor or making a doctor's appointment and creating, having a dream for what their health care could look like. Because I hear a lot of complaints about, you know, well, my eyes are really bad and I can't read that sign over there and it's been like that for years, but I don't know how to find an eye doctor. Or, you know, my diabetes is out of control and my doctor told me I had X, Y, and Z as well, but I don't know what to do about it, and there's just no extra steps to take towards that. So me and Crystal, who's up front, we've tried to be very intentional with those conversations about saying, okay, well, what does that look like? How can we sign you up? Do you already have a doctor? And one thing I've noticed, too, is that our neighbors aren't very good at advocating for themselves. Personally, I'm learning that in the healthcare system as well. And so talking to them about, okay, did you tell your doctor that this is hurting? What did they say? Did you feel that they heard you? Did you, you know, do we need to change doctors? Do we need to do X, Y, and Z? And so I'm trying to help coach them in little ways to take control of their healthcare and understand what is possible for that. It does take a lot of time and intentionality, and sometimes we make appointments. One of the problems that I'm running into is, like, for one gentleman who's chronically homeless, we made him an appointment. He was really excited, but the next available appointment was 2 months away. And yeah. I just have an idea that he's not going to that appointment. Even if we set up a ride and I write it on a little card.
His number may change. There's all kinds of things that could happen. Yeah.
So it makes it really hard if the access to health care can't be quick. Then it's not going to be, it's not going to work. So we're just doing trial and error with that. But I really want our neighbors to have healthier lives and to believe that they can have that. So,
well, it's interesting because healthcare in general doesn't make it very proactive either.
Correct.
It's very reactive. If you think about knee replacements, for instance, it's kind of a given. You hit your 60s or 70s and we're just going to replace your knee. Instead of starting healthcare starting in your 20s and saying, hey, what can we do starting in your early teens or 20s all through your life so that we don't ever have to do a knee replacement.
And it would save them money too.
Yeah, so they're just reacting to that. And what's interesting is we found that to be the case when we started a program called Meet the Doc back in 2014. And we brought in different healthcare providers because people couldn't get access to healthcare. So mm-hmm. we brought the healthcare to them. And we had a variety of things there. We had dental screenings and cancer screenings and quit smoking classes and just all different things. And the total accumulation of if each one of those individuals came through the ER would have been on a conservative level just $1 million in care. That probably would have been unpaid. But we could not get our local hospital to buy into that process of preventative care because their answer to that was, well, we don't know that they would have shown up to the ER.
Yeah.
Well, we have a pretty good idea. And if only 10% of them showed up to the ER, that's $100,000 that they weren't going to pay.
Right.
That we've been able to prevent just by the services we provide. So healthcare in general in our local hospital needs to be more proactive in the healthcare arena.
And I think also it would be helpful if they learned how to help people advocate for themselves, to ask those questions, because sometimes it's easy to just run people through and check off the boxes and they're good to go and move to the next person, and our neighbors don't feel seen or heard. And so... Yeah. There's a lot of issues to even get to healthcare, and then once you're in the system, what that looks like. But it just takes one try at a time.
Yeah, and the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development came out, I think it was just a couple of years ago, with data that said a homeless individual will cost a community in calls for service to the ER, to the jail, to mental health facilities, ambulance rides, fire department, police, all these calls for service, $40,000 to $50,000 a year per individual.
Easily, yeah.
And so it would be wise for our community resources, such as our local hospital, to be on the front end of this because while taxpayers are footing those bills for the fire department and the police and ambulance to field those calls, you know, we're not paying the bill at the hospital, but we're paying it in a roundabout way through our insurance rates, right? But if they could be more proactive instead of reactive, I think we could see a big difference.
Definitely. And I think overall it would be a healthier community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Which is it all ties together, right? Poverty is very complex. And if we have a healthier community, then we have people that stay employed longer. Mm-hmm. They enjoy their job because they're not dealing with pain at their job. Their mental health is better because they physically feel better. I mean, it's just it all ties in together.
Yeah, it does.
So, well, on Wednesdays, Hannah, we have started, Amy and I have started a new feature called Wacky Wednesday News.
Okay.
So on this podcast for the last few Wednesdays, we've pulled stories that are just kind of nutty stories, but this one is quite popular. So Burger King, you've heard of Burger King?
Yes. Yes, I have.
So they have introduced a new offering on its menu, on Burger King's menu in Thailand. Now, did you spend time in Thailand?
Not very long, just a couple weeks.
Just as a tourist?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. You weren't missioning there?
No, just the Philippines.
You were just there to get a good deal on electronics?
To ride elephants and pet tigers and watches. All that, yeah.
So Burger King in Thailand has introduced a meatless burger, but here's the thing. When we think about meatless, we think it's like a veggie burger. No. This is a hamburger with 20 slices of American cheese.
Ugh.
It's called the Real okay. Cheeseburger, and it's being offered at Burger King's fast food chain locations across the country of Thailand. it's drawn a little bit of a mixed response from his customers.
I can imagine.
You know, it's not even real cheese. I'm sure
it's
processed.
Plastic.
Yeah, it's plastic.
Yeah, yeah, I would think that could not be good for your health.
Oof.
20, and they had a picture of it, and it was like three inches tall. 20 slices of American cheese, which is probably processed because American cheese is probably made in America, right? Isn't that why it's called American cheese?
Well, I don't really know, but
otherwise,
it's not
called
really cheese.
Wouldn't it be called Thailand cheese?
They call it cheese product.
Yeah, but
they don't even call it cheese.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be called Thailand cheese if it was made in Thailand, though? So it's got to have, my point is, it's got to have like preservatives to get shipped from the U.S. to Thailand. Hmm. So, it's probably not even real cheese. It's not like they have cows there making it.
Don't they call it processed cheese? Bread, or is it something?
Bread.
Spread.
Oh.
Spread. It's not even called cheese here in the U.S.
So you don't think this burger would go over very well in the U.S.?
Well, I hope not, but it might.
I don't know. Americans have weird
Do you think our neighbors would eat a 20-slice American cheese?
They're hungry.
Real cheeseburger?
Some of them would.
With no meat, just 20 slices of cheese?
Well, I know somebody, I just heard a recent story, is going to actually be running this like 5K or 3K on Saturday.
Oh, that's me.
Because of bacon.
Yeah, I'm doing it for bacon.
I know who it is.
I would do it for chocolate chip cookies too. So if anybody out there wants to put on a 5K with chocolate chip cookies, I'm in. Mm-hmm. So,
but bacon.
Bacon,
That sounds miserable for running or jogging
or
walking.
Do you eat it while you're running?
I hope not. I'll probably have to eat it at the end. Otherwise, I'd be eating it and throwing it up too at the same time. So
you wouldn't even want it at the end because you'd feel so good, and now you're going to just.
But Hannah, before you leave, we got a question for you.
Okay.
Yuck, yuck.
All right. What do they call Chinese food in China?
Food.
That's right. So Burger King has the real cheeseburger with American cheese, but it's not called Thailand cheese. So it just doesn't make sense, does it?
No. So many confusing things.
So how come
about
we
that?
Don't just call it cheese here in the United States? Why do we call it
American
cheese?
They want to warn you so you know what you're getting.
Right. And it's not cheese.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us. If people have questions about how they can help with their health care, they can reach out to you. You'll get their MRIs, their CAT scans, their blood draws. You get all that taken care of right for them.
I'll refer them to the right places, gladly. Yes.
You won't put your stethoscope on?
I don't think they want me as a doctor.
All right. All right. Well, thanks, Hannah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Hannah.
This podcast is brought to you by Elevate Coffee, the coffee that lifts you up. Elevate Coffee provides handcrafted espresso-based drinks, teas, homemade muffins, and specialty drinks like lavender honey lattes, chai lattes, and frappuccinos. Open Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. inside Elevate Branson. Swing by on your morning commute or stop in for a midday pick-me-up. Elevate Coffee, the coffee that lifts you up.
It's Wednesday here, Amy. What does that mean?
Oh, it means it is $1 Wednesday.
What's $1 Wednesday?
Well, that means that if anybody just has this great urge to help with some of the things we do, we just say, hey, just donate a dollar. We'll appreciate a dollar. A dollar here, a dollar there. We would just be so grateful.
Or you can add another number behind the dollar.
Yes, you could
such
absolutely
as
do that.
6, 7 zeros.
Sure, sure.
Or nines.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or
any number you want.
Sevens.
Yeah, seven will do.
Or any combination of zeros, nines, and sevens.
That's exactly right.
Or
but just put a dollar in there somewhere.
Well, you have to start with a dollar.
You start with a dollar.
Yeah. Unless you want to start with a bigger number and then add numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
You could do that.
Absolutely.
So, all right, every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday.
It's
don't forget.
$1 Wednesday.
$1 Wednesday.
All right. What's new happening here at Elevate this next week, Amy? Anything exciting coming up that you know of?
Well, I know that summer school is still going strong. See the kiddos.
Couple more weeks.
Running around, having fun, and just making art projects.
I heard one of the kids today, I was walking through the auditorium, and there were several of them, and they were kind of working together on something. And I think one of the boys wanted to do something. And the girl says, no. The teacher told us we have to do teamwork.
I had another little girl come up to me. I was walking down the hall, and she was standing in the doorway of her classroom, and she had marshmallows, like, glued onto a plate, some kind of project they made. So she picked off the corner of the marshmallow, and she looked at me, and she goes, eat this. Oh. And I said, oh, no, thanks, I'm good. And she goes, no, eat this. And I said, oh, my belly's full, I can't. And it was just so funny. It was just a little icky, gluey piece of marshmallow, you know. Yeah. But they're so sweet. They're just so fun to watch.
All right, so what else is new happening at Elevate?
So I know that the teachers took the kids that were in summer school just a day or so ago to CFO, to the pig farm, and they got to just be around the pigs.
Just pigs, and, or did they not see the cows either?
Well, I think they saw the cows too, but they first saw the pigs, and then they went and saw the cows.
Which is why I'm running the Great Bacon Race.
Now, do tell.
Well, because they saw the pigs first. So obviously, pigs produce bacon, which is way better than beef or milk in that case.
I was confused where you were going with all that, but gotcha.
It's number one.
Beef, I mean,
bacon.
Bacon is number one.
Yeah. Yeah.
One to you.
Well, that's why I'm running it.
That's true.
I run for bacon.
You run for bacon?
Yeah. If it was the Great Hamburger Race, mm-hmm. I might not do it.
But it's the Great Bacon Race.
But if it was the Great Chocolate Chip Cookie Race, I'd do it.
Okay.
You would do it for the Great Ice Cream Race. I probably wouldn't do it for ice cream.
Yeah.
I mean, I like ice cream, but I'm not like obsessed about ice cream.
Yeah.
So.
Good point.
But bacon, I like bacon. Mm-hmm. I like bacon with a little brown sugar on it. Mm-hmm. Thick cut. Really like
kind of
making fried,
me nauseous.
Kind of
right
crispy.
Now.
Try running 3 miles in the 100-degree heat.
That does not
bacon.
Sound good at all.
It could be a little. It could be a little rough. Yeah. What else is new going on around here? What if Frank made a 20-slice American cheese pizza? Would you eat it?
Oh, absolutely not. No.
No?
I like cheese in moderation, but yeah, that's just disgusting.
No sauce. I mean, I
just cheese. Just cheese on a crust.
Just cheese. I guess that's what the Burger King. It's a real cheeseburger.
I was talking about the pizza you were talking about.
I know,
about.
But if you compared apples to apples, it'd just be. It doesn't say it came with any.
Yeah.
Condiments or anything on it. So.
That just sounds horrible.
Doesn't sound good?
Mm-mm.
No. All right. What's our scripture of the week?
Well, I don't know. You have it, honey.
Oh, that's right. I do have it. So it comes from Proverbs.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not familiar with the Bible, Proverbs is a lot like a fortune cookie to me. You know, Confucius says, and he's very, you know, wise on what he says, and sometimes it comes out of a fortune cookie. It's kind of how I feel like Proverbs is. Very full of a lot of wisdom.
Never heard that before. Like fortune cookie wisdom.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, fortune cookies don't always have your fortune. They also just have wisdom sayings in there.
Or just stuff that applies to everybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which sometimes is very wise. Wise of the fortune cookie.
It's a stretch, but go on.
All right. So this comes from Proverbs 19, verse 17. It says, if you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and he will repay you. So did you know that if you help the poor, or you help the homeless, or you help individuals in poverty, you are actually lending to the Lord, and he will repay you?
Well, you might have to explain more what that means, of lending to the Lord.
Well, you're lending your help. You're helping.
Oh, you're helping.
You're not lending money.
Well, I know that. Yeah, I know that.
They're not taking out a loan.
Right. No, I just didn't grasp the meaning of lending to the Lord.
Yeah, and the Lord will repay you for your help because you're helping people. You're being his hands and feet.
Okay. Yeah. No, that makes sense.
If people were to look at that from that perspective, maybe more people would actually help the poor.
Maybe.
Anyhow, that could someday be in a fortune cookie. You never know.
Yeah.
So how about volunteers this week? Are you needing any volunteers for the week?
Yeah, always. Thursday nights were usually a little sparse, and so we could probably use some more volunteers on Thursday night, just getting out in the community and meeting friends and going to the different weekly and extended stays as a group. And we really have a lot of fun doing that. We get to meet other volunteers and get to kind of do life together with the friends we make on that way. And then we also get to meet new people, our neighbors, that we just take the meals to on Thursday nights and see where they're at, how they're doing, if there's ways that we can maybe help them with some next steps. And so But we can always use volunteers in that area. I like in the summer months because oftentimes we'll get families that will come, and sometimes we'll have kids that will come, and it just kind of helps kids to see that, hey, they have it way better than they thought they did after they go on a Thursday night. They have a little bit of a different take on things. It's easy to just, you know, be a kid and take things for granted. But when they go out on a Thursday night and they see maybe how other kids are living in the motels and how they don't have a kitchen or they don't, you know, they just are really struggling, it helps them to maybe appreciate some of the things that they have as well.
So we can really help parents out.
Sure. Yeah, we can
if they bring their kids, we can give them a new perspective on life.
Well, so. It is true. It does happen. So,
how about we've got Elevate Work Class coming up this fall.
We can always use mentors to come alongside people and kids workers to also help come love on the kiddos that are the kids of the parents that are in the class. That's always a need that we have, maybe just to read with kids or just help out our kids director in that area. We could use some help in our thrift store always. We get a lot of great donations from the community, but we also need help in kind of cleaning those donations up a little bit and displaying them in the thrift store. So we have a lot of opportunity here for people.
So have you seen any beep beep scooters out?
Oh my gosh, yes, a lot anymore. It's like every time I go out, one of the little beep beep scooters drives by me and I just get a big smile on my face because I just love it. I love seeing people have that freedom to get around town. And
you saw some at McDonald's just a couple of days ago, right?
Last Thursday, I was coming home from meal delivery and I stopped at McDonald's to get you some chocolate chip cookies.
That's right.
And I ran into one of the J1s who is renting a scooter right now from Turkey, I believe it is, and got to talk with him a little bit. And then afterwards, I found a couple scooters out in the parking lot from the staff there and took a picture and stuck it on my Facebook page. So,
yeah, and I'm on KRZK. Shout out to Josh at KRZK. Every other Monday morning for 10, 15 minutes just to kind of update them on Elevate Branson. And Josh was telling me that he saw like a group of five on the scooters over by Country Mart on 248. So he said that it was like a little posse of scooters riding around.
It's so fun, and they're so pretty. I love the different colors, and they're kind of sleek looking.
And we saw a gal, we got behind a gal the other day on a scooter of ours, and so that was a lot of fun. So watch out for those scooters. They are out on the road.
They are out and about.
Make sure to give them plenty of room. So we had a couple of call-in or write-in questions this this last week after the last podcast. But this one was from Swede Dale, or Dale Swede. I'm not sure how it goes on Facebook. And it really wasn't directed to us per se, but I really liked it. Apparently there's some controversy going on in the city of Branson around drag shows. And there's been some policy proposals and a lot of discussion at the Board of Aldermen meetings and a lot of time and energy around this this subject. And Dale posted on Facebook, I wish that everyone, this was a thread on Facebook, so there was a lot of comments. I think there's 400 and some comments. Said, I wish everybody who's taking the time to comment on this would focus their time and energy on affordable housing and transportation in Branson. And we could solve that over having this controversy on drag shows. He basically said, just don't go. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, you have a choice.
Right.
You have a choice to choose whether you go to a drag show or you don't go to a drag show. Unfortunately, many of our neighbors don't have a choice of whether they live in poverty or have a lack of transportation.
Right.
And so I just shout out to Dale Swede or Swede Dale. Just I liked his perspective on that.
Yeah, I have to agree with it. I think that there's so many of us who live here. We do have a lot of good community support in our community. But with all the folks that live here, could you imagine what we would see, how our community would change if people really did start to focus on those issues and did really want to do something to make a difference in other people's lives? It could be amazing.
We also had one on our Instagram. It was at Houses for the Poor. And their question really was, if I could explain, they said, can Brian explain his thoughts again on how the city of Branson could help with development costs for affordable housing? And we talked on this either last week or a couple of weeks ago on a podcast, but what we've seen other municipalities do is they've set a threshold of maybe it's $175,000. Maybe in this market it's $200,000. I don't know what the price point is. And said, if you are a developer and you will build homes that are $200,000 or less for owner-occupied, not for investment property, but owner-occupied, they have to at least live in it for a year as owner-occupied, we will waive any permit fees and any hookup fees, which could be as high as $20,000 per house. Well, now that's money that can go back into a developer's pocket. Mm-hmm. That can help offset some of those expenses for that low-income house or that affordable house. The other thing we've seen some municipalities do is they actually own some land, mm-hmm. and they've been able to rezone or repurpose that parcel of land into individual lots, and they've actually given the developer mm-hmm. the lots as well as waived any hookup or permit fees. I mean, that's a big incentive. Mm-hmm. And it really doesn't – there's no out-of-pocket cost to the city when they do that because they already own the land. Mm-hmm. And they're just waiving fees. So it's a win-win, and that's what I think could happen here. Mm-hmm. So that's what I meant by that at Houses for the Poor, but keep those questions coming. And then lastly, we had our question of the week, which always comes in from D. Toddy Squeeman. And he was just asking about how he can get a Theo plush because he really likes mm-hmm. Theo, our therapy dog. And you can get one of those right here at Elevate Branson. You can just come in when you're coming to get your coffee or your pizza at Neighbor's Hub. You can ask for a Theo's plush, and they're just $20, and you can get one of those. You can also go to our website and go to the Elevate Kids page, and you can actually download coloring pictures of Theo where your kids or grandkids could color. So yep. D. Toddy Squeeman, if you've got those grandkids or kids of your own, you can have them color some Theo pictures and then put them up there on your refrigerator. All right, well, that's going to wrap it up for today.
Okay.
But be thinking about those names. Put a comment on our Facebook page. Send us an email. Go to our Instagram or TikTok. And be sure to share this podcast with your friends and neighbors. And be sure to listen next week wherever you get your podcasts. You've been listening to In Pursuit of Community with Elevate Branson.